Hello and welcome to the obligatory Keystone Crossover Show. We've got a special edition today. I'm Jim Galante along with Chris Buchanani. Chris, the big news breaks today. The athletic director, Sandy Barber, will be retiring effective this summer. What's your first reaction?
Yeah, big news. Special emergency edition of the Crossover Show. I thought it would be fun, Jim, for everyone's reference. For us, this news just broke 10 minutes ago, maybe. So I thought we could get together, share our top-of-mind reactions. I don't want to come across like I am dancing on anyone's professional grave here, but just in terms of the need to bring in some fresh outlook and to have a new person with new perspective as we begin a new presidential administration at Penn State in a very tumultuous time for college athletics and a very critical time period for Penn State football, in my opinion. I think this is the right move, and sooner rather than later is better, in my opinion. That's my first reaction.
This has been rumored for a while that it was coming, so it shouldn't be a shock to any of us. And
no.
I'm with you, Chris. I think that it's time for a little bit of new blood there. Now, Sandy Barber, she came in after the scandal and all that. Give me your overview of her reign from that point when she got here to today.
Okay. Look, if I am being honest, put on the spot, I have been underwhelmed by the tenure of Sandy Barber. Let me put it that way. I don't think that she has done anything particularly damaging or bad to the athletic department. We were warned when she came in that her leadership style is one that has the propensity to balloon the athletic department budget, and that has certainly happened. We went from having, like, I don't know, three assistant athletic directors to now there are like 75, and each one of them has an assistant athletic director, it seems like to me. So the bureaucracy is expanding to meet the needs of the expanding bureaucracy. I can quibble with that. I don't think it's a fatal flaw. But just in general, as I mentioned, this is a really fluid time for college sports. And I just feel like we have been lacking, number one, in visionary leadership. And frankly, number two, somebody who understands how Penn State's unique culture and brand can find a place in that spectrum. So I think it is a great time to make a change.
It's interesting that you bring up the words branding and culture. And I'm not sure if I shared this story on the air with our listeners previously, but this seems like an opportune time to do it. Several years ago, I got my only opportunity to chat with Sandy Barber, be in a small group where she spoke, and then chat with her one-on-one. And the word culture came up in her talk to the small group. And what bothered me, and I think bothered some of the other people around me, was there was this, we're going to fix the culture here. And I looked around, I didn't think our culture needed to be fixed. And I felt this was a case of, and I'll say it's an outsider, someone coming from the West Coast who had the narrative, the national narrative mm-hmm. about Penn State coming through the scandal, as opposed to the internal narrative. And I think the internal narrative was, yes, we all hated what happened. We all hated the scandal, but that didn't define who we were as Penn Staters. And I got the impression that she felt she needed to fix that, which we didn't think need to be fixed. Does that make sense, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. And I have gotten this feeling both from Sandy and James at times that whether it's driven by insecurity or just a personality tick or whatever, that they feel like they can't brag about their own accomplishments, which in many cases are totally commendable and worthy of praise without diminishing things that happened at the institution prior to them getting here. And that's always rubbed me the wrong way. And I know for a fact it rubs very influential people inside the university the wrong way. And it's just an unforced error. Imagine being elected or being hired to be like president of the Philadelphia 76ers. And you go and you meet with all the season ticket holders. And the first thing you say is, under my leadership, we're going to have a gentler, happier Philadelphia fans. We're going to stop throwing batteries at opposing players. We're going to stop throwing snowballs at Santa Claus. We're going to eat more cheesesteaks, and we're going to get in less drunken fights in the 700 level. You just spit back every bad stereotype that's spread about your key constituent stakeholders by the national narrative. And number one, you demonstrate your ignorance of the reality on the ground. Number two, you alienate the very people you need in order to be successful in your job. If you're going to come into a university or an academic athletic setting and you want to be successful, especially if your entire mindset is money equals wins, period, you've got to win over the people with the money and the people with the capacity to satisfy your need to raise prices and charge more for everything and buy in on the imperialist expansion model of college sports. So you've told me that story before, and to me, it just represents a fundamental failings. You got to go to war with the army you have. And just like in relationships, if you enter into it with the idea that I first need to fix this person or these people, you're done. You already failed. And the truth is, Penn State doesn't need fixing. Our fans don't need fixing. Our culture doesn't need fixing. It never did. And so to pivot to where the university should go next in its athletic director search, I do think it's important for whomever they hire to come in with the understanding that college sports is so incredibly brand and culture dependent. You cannot change your brand in college sports. If you are blessed to have been the inheritor of one of the great ones, as we are at Penn State, you just got to lead into that and ride it. It's very, very tough to carve out a new niche in the landscape of college football, which is what drives all of college sports and will do so even more going into the future. I think Oregon is really one of the only schools that's been able to do it, to try to, you know, take Phil Knight's money and take some really smart branding decisions and come muscle their way into the conversation. And now imagine being hired as the athletic director of Oregon and saying, you know what, like, I come from an East Coast, Northeast mentality. I love Michigan's uniforms and Penn State's uniforms and Alabama's uniforms. So the identity of Oregon football now is we are going back to the Donald Duck logo, and we are going to have one uniform, and it's going to be the yellow helmet with the cute green jersey, and that's it. And that's what we're doing, and that's what Oregon football is going to be from now on, because that's what I think it should be. No, wrong. Just go somewhere that already has that if you like that. You've got to lean into whatever you are. So likewise, imagine being the next athletic director at Alabama and saying we're going to wear a different uniform every week and take the numbers off the helmets. Just understand what we've got. Feel fortunate that it's great. It's one of the 15 or 20 like brand culture resource combinations in college football that allows you to compete for a playoff spot and conference and national championships, and just accept it. So I do think that that's an important point. I have some other thoughts about where Penn State should go next in the athletic director search, but I just want to get your reaction to that before we move on.
I think you hit it really well that you and I are Penn Staters through and through. We went to Penn State. We have Penn State shows that we put out. We both have a lot of pride, not just in the football program, but in the entire university. And when we talk about the university, we say we. We're part of it. And you know, I try really hard on our show when we're talking about the football team to not say we, okay? And I don't pretend I'm a journalist or any of that, but I want to make it clear I'm talking about critiquing the football team itself. But if I'm talking about the whole university, I'm saying we. Mm-hmm. I'm part of it. And when you talk about somebody else coming in, I want them, as you put it, to absorb and be part of what we are. You know, maybe improve what we are, but be who we are. The word used often is culture. I don't think there's anything wrong with the Penn State culture. So that's my number one. I'm not sure it means it has to be a Penn Stater taking the job, but if it were, I think there's that inherent advantage of knowing what you're walking into and knowing what you're dealing with. But this position now is so sophisticated, so complicated, you're overseeing a large business. And there are business decisions that are coming, so much to do with NIL. Hey, they just recently put out a survey. Do we need a new stadium or not? There are a lot of challenges coming to this new athletic director. I want someone who can appreciate our culture, but what else does that person need to be, Chris?
Yeah, and I think it's you made a good point I just want to touch on, Jim, that I am not someone who believes you need to hire a Penn Stater to come in here and have success. I think there is just a certain mentality that is a good fit with what we've got here, what the bones we've got that allow us to be able to compete and win. Jay Paterno said years ago, I think it was around the time of his father's passing, it was a really great quote and it's always stuck with me. Having a Penn State degree doesn't automatically make you a Penn Stater. And you don't have to have a Penn State degree in order to be a Penn Stater. Some of the greatest and most influential figures in the history of this community, I'm in State College, and of our university, are people who did not attend Penn State as students. I think that's a really important thing to remember. So I'm not dead set against it, but for me, it's not a requirement. I do think one thing that I think is really important is Penn State should, in my opinion, have a very broad-based search for who the next athletic director is going to be. And I think they should prioritize the ability, a track record to have demonstrated organizational leadership skills and imagination, outside-the-box thinking. There is a traditional professional career path that gets you to being an athletic director at a Power Five university, and it involves climbing a many-runged ladder within the profession of college athletics. And I think we should take that playbook and throw it out. Because not only do I think it's an artificial limitation on the candidates you consider, I think it may actually be a detriment in the times we're living in right now. Because if you have spent your entire professional career inside the framework of college athletics, your synaptic pathways are all set up to respond to a world that no longer exists. I think you are actually probably in some cases blinded to the possibilities of what college sports is about to become based on having spent so much time in what it was. And I have talked to so many people, whether they be current and former players on Penn State's football team, you know, to trustees, people in the business community, people who are working in the NIL space. Everyone keeps repeating the same thing that I sort of intuitively understood at some point last season. The world of college football, as I knew it for the totality of my life, is gone. It probably was vaporized sometime toward the end of 2019, and it's never coming back. So I think not only should Penn State look beyond the traditional pathways to recruit its next AD, I think they should probably eschew that because, again, I see that as a colossal potential drawback coming from that world and being stuck in the past.
You make some great points there, Chris, and I think I'm going to describe the same thing but use a couple different words. I've always thought about this at Penn State, and I'll use this again, the scandal as a frame of reference and how we as a university handled it, meaning the board, the administration, and so on. I always felt it was a weak response, and I'll tie this all in. Mm-hmm. And I fear with the athletic department, it's also the same kind of thing where there's not that strength to say, hey, wait a minute, we're Penn State, we're one of the big boys. When you think about, say, Big Ten football and the leaders within Big Ten football, you don't think of the Penn State athletic director. You think of the Wisconsin athletic director. You think of the Ohio State athletic director. Why is it not the Penn State athletic director? Why is it not one of our people as a leader? Meaning, Penn State is one of the big boys. You look at television ratings, where the money comes from. You think back to why Penn State was brought into this conference. We should be at the head of the table. And I never felt we were. And I want a leader who's strong enough to stand up and say, this is what should happen. This is what we're fighting for. And I never felt we had that in all of our administration. So with an athletic director coming in, I want someone who can, you know, Barry Alvarez is no longer the AD at Wisconsin. What is he, a consultant to the Big Ten? I want someone to be able to look Barry Alvarez in the eye and say, no, that's not how it's going to be. Or the commissioner of the Big Ten Conference, and someone who has the strength to do that, someone who has the strength to look out for Penn State's best interests. And maybe I'm being unfair to the current administration, athletic administration, but I haven't seen it. And I do want to see that going forward. So strength of leadership is what I want to see. And to piggyback onto what you said, Chris, that means being creative with what you do. It means thinking outside the box. It doesn't mean just following the herd.
You need somebody who I would like to see, somebody who's a little bit younger, energetic, competent, open-minded, and yeah, they do need to have whatever set of personality traits will predispose you to falling in love with Penn State. To a certain type of person, there is a magnetism to this valley that gets into your blood and into your gut and into your heart, and it just holds you here and it stays with you for the rest of your life. You need to find somebody for whom this is going to be a passion project. I really believe that. And somebody who is open to imagining what could be, to look at the possibilities of how the landscape of college football, again, because that's what's going to drive the train more so than ever, is transforming, and think a few steps ahead and say, how does Penn State fit into this picture? Because the reality is there are some drawbacks to where we're located, the kind of predispositions of our alumni donor base to what they are and aren't going to support, the traditional culture of the program and of the university. All those things can be assets or they can be liabilities. And it's just dependent on the quality of your leadership to determine which they are. And the other thing I'll just note, Jim, is that I am not someone, although I think maybe I come across this way sometimes, who is reflexively opposed to the need for more money for the athletic department. I understand that's a necessity. If you're going to compete in the rat race of college sports, you're going to need more money. So please understand me. I am not reflexively opposed to improving facilities. I'm not reflexively opposed to bringing in more revenue. Those things are important. I would go so far as to say not critically necessary. I would like to see somebody who is capable enough that they don't view throwing more money at whatever as the best and or only solution to every problem, right? That's going to be important because we are not going to be able to finance our athletic program to the tune of an SEC school or an Ohio State, our in-division rival. That's just not going to happen. We are blessed with a lot of resources, but not the most. And we're going to have to figure out how to creatively and efficiently use what we've got, which is a lot. Again, it's better than almost everyone else in the country, which is a really good spot to be in.
The point you make is valid, Chris, in that if you look at government, whether it's federal, state, local, you look at a large corporation, which the athletic department of major college sports is a large business right now. The thought is throwing money at things can fix everything. It's important, but spend it wisely. Don't just throw the money at it. It's a great point.
You got to be good with people, too. Externally and internally, you've got to be a great ambassador for the program. You've got to be great at winning the hearts and minds of your boosters. And you've got to deal with a diverse group of coaches and support staff and be able to cultivate support from the inside, too. When there is a great respect-based working relationship between the AD and the head coaches of your 31 sports, things can really hum here at Penn State. I've seen it happen. So it's a complicated job. And, you know, we're going to have to pay this person a lot. And I'm fine with that. You know, I'm fine with paying an incredibly competitive salary to get a really great candidate. I will throw one name at you, Jim, which I have always thought would be an interesting move at the AD spot. And I look, I'm not saying I think this is going to happen. I highly doubt it. But to me, one intriguing person is Calvin Booth, who was a center for the basketball team in the late 90s, early 2000s, and has just shot like a rocket up through the ranks of management in the NBA after his pro career was over. And he is currently the general manager of the Denver Nuggets, who, you want to talk about a franchise that has been very savvy, doing more with less? They are not in one of the big markets in that league, and they are not one of the power players, but they have been very efficient with their personnel management, and I know he is incredibly well thought of. I think he's very happy out there, and it's tough to imagine somebody leaving a general manager post of a professional franchise, but he is a Penn Stater. Maybe he is somebody who would respond to a call to come home, and to me, he's just an interesting name to have out there in the mix.
He's a great name, and you and I spoke about him previously. And the things that I like, obviously, he's a Penn Stater, grew up in the sports world playing basketball. As you said, he's climbing up that NBA ladder, and he did it. He was not a superstar in the NBA, okay? If you're a superstar, it's a little easier to get those kind of jobs, work your way up because you have that name value. He did it the hard way. He earned it to get to that point. I think that's a really interesting name. As you said, I'm not sure if he would want to leave the position he's in to take this, but I think what you did was you created the idea of it doesn't have to be a Penn Stater, but it wouldn't hurt to be. And it wouldn't hurt to have someone a little bit younger, someone who's also in the world of athletics, been in a position of power, understood what it takes, as you said, in the Denver situation, even doing more with less. We should start the Calvin Booth for AD campaign, Chris.
And also has knowledge of how the professional sports world works, so probably has had to think about things like, you know, endorsements and deals with, you know, major corporate partners and all of the things that go into that aspect of athletics administration in the modern era. Has run an organization with a lot of people in it. I think that's incredibly important. There are a number of things that I think make him a really interesting candidate. And the last point I will make about this is somebody who has just opined on his perceived need to be wide-ranging in the search for Sandy Barber's replacement. There is an old saying, Jim, it's good to be open-minded, but not so much that your brains fall out. I do think there's a danger of, you know, kind of outthinking yourself and being too clever by half. And the cautionary tale I'll add is former Domino's Pizza CEO Dave Brandon, who was hired as the athletic director at Michigan. Again, this idea, oh, we're going to go outside the box. We're going to get a corporate guy. We're going to get somebody who understands this needs to be run like a business. And it was a total disaster. Remember the days of buy a Michigan football ticket and get two free cans of Coke? Like, that was Dave Brandon. Like, total mess. So if you're going to go down that route, which I strongly encourage university leadership to do, continue to look to the example of Dave Brandon and make sure that you haven't outthought yourself. It's perilous in that respect.
All right. That will be the final word. Thank you all for listening to this special edition of the Obligatory Keystone Crossover Show, and make sure you join us next time.
We're excited to be partnering with the team at Keystone Sports, more folks who love the Nittany Lions like we do. You can hear the Keystone Kickoff Show 3 times a week on the airwaves across Pennsylvania. Go to KeystonesportsNetwork.com for a list of radio stations and more, or listen whenever you want by subscribing on your favorite podcast platform. But your best bet is to download the Keystone Sports app, available in the App Store and Google Play.